from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And from John's Gospel, chapter 19. So Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said to him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I have a friend, now retired colleague, who grew up in rural Georgia. And he said, "You know, every time I watch the movie Gettysburg, I keep hoping the ending will be different." And of course, it never is. I have some of the same feelings about Palm Sunday, you know. It starts out with such promise, the beginning of the week. Jesus comes into Jerusalem, the crowds greet him like a savior defined in their own mind. And yet, in a few days, we know that this ends badly. Hosanna becomes "Crucify him," because he didn't bring them what they expected. They'd apparently written a script, and he decided not to follow, for reasons that become clear to us, or at least clearer to us, perhaps, with a few centuries of retrospect. Well, it raises the question, how do people respond under pressure? How do people respond when expectations are unmet, when people let them down, when people hurt them? I've been told by a wise mentor that there are essentially two kinds of people in this world. There are what he called skunks and turtles. That there are people who under pressure spray. They're the skunks. And there are people who under pressure retreat into a shell. Those are the turtles. We all know who we mostly are. Obviously, both of these responses have been wired into us. It's really the fight or flight reflex. And we know our own tendencies under pressure, which are we most like, one or the other. It's like these are the defaults. It's like revenge is one way to deal with stress, or retreat is another way to deal with stress. And we have examples of this. In the public arena, for example, the debate over healthcare reform has generated a great deal of skunk-like behavior on both sides of the aisle, a tremendous amount of anger, and a tremendous amount of energy devoted to what'll we do next to get even with those who beat us the last time. The fight reflex under pressure in the halls of the U.S. Congress. Not the first time that political contention has pushed people to one or the other of these default settings. I think of during the Vietnam War. Many chose to go fight. Many others pulled into a shell, Canada. A choice that elicited a great deal of contentious response. And yet, we know what this feels like. We know that when in a situation that calls for us to react reflexively, we're more likely one or the other to fight or flee. If you've purchased a laptop computer or a mobile telephone in the last few years, you know that they all come with default settings. Default settings for ringtones, screensavers, and a bazillion other things that are sort of preset at the factory. Well, you and I have been preset at the factory, but we have also been given an opportunity. Once we come to know who we are, you can change the default settings. You can personalize or reset your responses. Now, I think under pressure, sometimes we hit the default reset button, and there is one of those on most phones or computers. If you're not quite sure what else to do, you can push a button and it goes back to the way things were. And sometimes that's what we do when we're not quite sure what to do next. But we can, instead of revenge or retreat. Reset at some risk. This is not easy to do. Scott Brown is the newly elected senator from Massachusetts, replacing Ted Kennedy. And when he was elected, there was a great hue and cry on both sides of the aisle. We're going to get him now because they haven't got a filibuster-proof majority. Or, you know, we're going to win anyway, as it were. Well, one of Scott Brown's first acts as senator from Massachusetts was to vote with the Obama administration on a jobs bill. He sort of reset his personal setting. He moved away from the default and was vilified on talk radio. Jane Fonda. Name ring a bell? She was on the Today Show this past week talking about a long history in her own life of fitness training and movies and so on. But for most of us, she's still Hanoi Jane, isn't she? How hard it is to reset your personal settings. At great consequence if we fail to do so. I tell my students that there's a great deal of literature that suggests if you look at the number of people who are in their first marriages and the number of people who are in their second or subsequent marriages, and you compare the divorce rates are higher for groups, for the group of people that are in their second or subsequent marriage, which makes a lot of sense in some ways. I mean, in one sense, we tried it and it didn't work and we ended it and we didn't die. But more importantly, I think that what causes second and subsequent marriages to be at greater risk is the almost innate reluctance to reset our personal settings. Everyone who's experienced a failure of any sort and confronted in a situation similar has to sort of brutally examine what they did the last time that didn't work and reset it. Try something different. Put on a new screensaver, a different ringtone. It's all part of who you are. In one sense, God took advantage of one of our default settings on the first Palm Sunday. He had this drawn up in advance, apparently, and he counted on the people in Jerusalem to be themselves. He knew that Jesus would come to Jerusalem. He knew what had to happen at the end of the week, and he let the skunks be the skunks to make it happen. They vengefully crucified him. To what effect? I think the effect of Good Friday and the resurrection, which we'll talk more about next week. In that process, God opened to us a whole array of personal settings. The opportunity to try something new and even risk failure. To choose something other than fight or flight, one under pressure. And to leave us all with the idea that you can hit the reset button and go back to what was, or you can stop for a minute and by the grace given to us through God's never-failing and relentless forgiveness and renewal, continue to try it differently. Continue to try and make things work in ways that you hadn't tried before. Take some risks. Maybe even take risks toward becoming more tolerant, more trustful, and even more forgiving ourselves. Every new day for us doesn't have to end the same way. We have choices and options, all supported by an almost unfathomable array of options, the consequences of which are always, try this, if it doesn't work, try it again. And if it doesn't work then, try something different. Because you are created unique in God's world. We're not just fighters or fleers, one or the other. We have an array of personal settings. And when the default button is reset, it's tempting to stay put. But the way the story ended in Jerusalem gives us every opportunity every day to leave it better than we found it, to be better even than we were. Amen.